number 39 in your white camp hymnals? Number just for all that you have done for us, and that list is long, but Father, we love you for who you are. You are precious to us. You are wonderful. You're faithful, you are good, you're kind and compassionate, merciful, gracious. Lord, for who you are today, we worship you and we praise you. There is none like you. So we stand in awe that you would come to us, that you would reveal yourself to us, that your presence would be among us, dear God, that something we can't comprehend or even fully appreciate. But Lord, today we praise you. We worship you for your great love. And because you loved us, Lord, we love you. We praise you and we give you thanks. Put within our hearts, Lord, a greater love for you. Maybe for some there's a waning. Maybe for some that first love has faded. Lord, I pray that these days you would put within us again a burning passion for you, a love like no other. So, Lord, we recognize, acknowledge that we don't love you as we ought, but we desire to, Lord. And so put that love in our hearts for you, we pray. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, hallelujah. I love him, I love him, because he first loved me, and
Apostle John could have the relationship with Jesus that he did. He put his head on Jesus' breast, and I thought that's sort of strange. First of all, I thought it strange that Jesus would have favorites. Mm-hmm. But we read throughout the Bible that there were people that David was a man after God's own heart. And there were three of his disciples that are very obviously favorites. But when I was putting this book together, there's one song, Sweeter Than All. Sarah mentioned it the other day. I said, I wonder if I'll ever see a male quartet sing this. Because of it, Jesus is now and ever will be sweeter than all the world. It's just not a masculine thing. And of course, I was wrong, because I did hear Jeffrey Rothwell sing once, I believe, as a quartet. But I think we could all be Jesus' favorites. I think it's the fact that John had that personality where he was totally confident in himself, and he just loved Jesus and just felt comfortable putting his head on Jesus' breast. And I often wonder, now this is just speculation, if Peter, after all was said and done, if he didn't wish that he had a relationship like that. But we can all do that. We can all extend ourselves to love Jesus with our whole hearts. And as I've said before, if we don't have that love, there's nothing wrong with saying, praying, Lord, give me that love for yourself. Admitting that we don't have that within ourselves, that yearning, that desire to love Jesus, that we can't understand how can that be that I can love Jesus, but we can. And the Lord can increase that love for us. And I'd like that in myself, where I have that real fervent love for Jesus Christ. Yes. And he will increase that love, yes. I know, as I look to him and express this desire to love him in that way.
Help us, Lord. Jesus, help us.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
He's the best friend that I can ever know or love. And I'm so thankful for such a friend as Jesus. I have many good friends. And most of them are with the Lord already. I remember many years ago, before our children were born, we would go to the Amish country, have friends there, and they'd take us. They didn't know what to do for us enough. They took us all over the place to show us things, and we had a great time. And other friends, too, that other friends in Bible school many years ago, we were very close friends. And they all went, they were ministers, but they all went to be with the Lord. And I thank the Lord for friends like that, that love you and concerned about you and take you into their care and arms. I'm thankful for that. But most of all, I'm thankful for Jesus. He's the best friend. And when we're alone, or wherever we are, work, school, wherever we are, He is always, always the best friend that we can have. And I was looking a little bit here in the book of Hebrews. We were looking at this chapter, and in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, there's a few verses here speaking about the Lord as the high priest. And since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a lot in these few, two, three verses. And if we can grasp that, that He's our high priest, I think we can really grow and get to know the Lord better in that sense. It says here, we have a great high priest and so forth. He's a priest. We do not have a priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And we all acknowledge that we have weaknesses. But He's that high priest that comes in those times of our weaknesses. And He gives us the strength for each day to go through whatever we're going through. If there's some sort of a trial or something doubting, whatever we're going through, He is that great high priest that intercedes for us. I was reading that even in Leviticus when Jesus, when God spoke to the Israelites too, and they had that Ark of the Covenant, which was a very, very holy place. They were not allowed to even touch it. If any Israelite touched it, they would die. You know that story. It was such a holy place. And to think of that holiness, that what they had to revere at that time, how much more do we have to revere the holiness of God today? He who died for us and gave His life for us and promises to be with us every day. And we can dwell and sit in His holiness and experience His holiness and become more like Him. That's the motto here, holiness unto the Lord. That's our watchword and song. We have to be very careful that that is our watchword, that we are careful to live the way He would want us to live. So let us draw with confidence near to the throne of grace. I remember when I was in third year in high school, I really didn't know the English language right. I didn't know the verbs and the adjectives, and no one really taught it right. Until I got into that first semester of the third year, I still remember the teacher, Mrs. Gerstmann, and she went through all the adjectives, the speeches, the nouns, everything so carefully that from then on, I understood it all. She made it so very clear. I'll never forget that teacher. I'll never forget sitting in her class. I'll never forget what she taught, because it stayed with me all my life. And you know, that's what the Lord wants to teach us, these things. early in life. He wants to come to us and teach us these things of God, these very important things here. So let us draw near with confidence, knowing that he's going to teach us, he's going to enable us to live each day just for him. And when we go off a little bit, he's there to correct us. He's right there, isn't he? To show us, no, you don't do that as a Christian, as my child. And I'm thankful for the way he works in our hearts and lives. And we have to be obedient, don't we? We have to be obedient to that, the way he's teaching us. And sometimes he has to admonish us, too. Sometimes there are things that doesn't please him. But oh, that our hearts are tender and just open to him, so that when he does admonish us, when he does speak to us, when he does want us to change in different ways, that we will be obedient and his holiness can dwell in us. Not only in the meeting, but in us every day. We can live for him. And I'm thankful for his word, and we can come and draw near and find that mercy and grace. Every time we need it, he's there. So let's just take it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Sing hymn number 44 in our white camp hymnal, 44. Would you stand as we sing this, please?
Sounds of the Lord is our word. holiness unto the Lord, now and forever.
Amen. You can hold that open. Just set it aside. We'll sing one verse in closing this morning, I think.